The hymn you just heard is entitled, appropriately enough, "The Lord is My Shepherd." The words for that hymn were written in the early 19th century. The tune, written later in the 19th century. The first verse says, "The Lord is my shepherd, no want shall I know. I feed in green pastures, safe folded I rest. He leadeth my soul where the still waters flow, restores me when wandering, redeems when oppressed. Restores me when wandering, redeems when oppressed." We have an affirmation of our faith that we share when we are together. This one from 1 Peter, which will also be our reading of God's Word, is from 1 Peter. In the second chapter is the affirmation of faith, where we read, "Jesus committed no sin, no guile was found on his lips. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but he trusted to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls." The reading of God's Word for today is from that same letter of 1 Peter, the entire fifth chapter. The apostle has been addressing many in several congregations and takes a moment to address also the leaders, the elders of those congregations, the elder, word elder, denoting an office in the early church. "To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's sufferings, who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. In the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders, all of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, God's almighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of suffering. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. With the help of Silas, whom I regard as a faithful brother, I have written to you briefly, encouraging you and testifying that this is the true grace of God. Stand fast in it. She who is in Babylon, chosen together with you, sends you her greetings, and so does my son Mark. Greet one another with a kiss of love. Peace to all of you who are in Christ." The apostle's letter that we look at today has been said to be an address to newly baptized members of Jesus' church. And here the apostle, with the authority of Jesus, was able to address those who were placing their lives and trust in Jesus' hands. Reading the beginning of this letter, it appears to be quite a crowd, a diverse crowd. And as we read in chapter 5, which you just heard, the apostle also addresses the leadership of these newly baptized church members. The apostle wrote directly to the elders of these congregations. While the apostle apparently wanted to take the opportunity to talk about the work of the new babes in Christ, the apostle wanted to address the leadership of the churches and remind them of their work on behalf of these sheep in their care who have just been found and brought back to the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd we heard more about last week. Today we talk about the work of the Good Shepherd on behalf of his sheep. And we learned quite a bit about the Good Shepherd because of the reminders to the congregation's shepherds, what we sometimes call the elder shepherds. If those shepherds want to be and will be true shepherds and not hired hands or wolves in sheep's skin. But in being so public about the work of the shepherds, the apostle is also talking to the sheep about following the Good Shepherd. Look at the reminders of the elder shepherds. Watch over them. Care for them. Then the apostle addresses everyone, verse 5. All of you, elder shepherds and sheep, all of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. Jesus the Good Shepherd lovingly leads the sheep. Jesus does not threaten us or cajole us or push us or shove us. Neither should the leadership so treat the sheep. And neither should the sheep shove their way to the front or fall behind or dawdle for a blade of grass. The Good Shepherd does not kick the sheep, neither should the sheep kick each other. Verse 7 is also for all elder shepherds and sheep. All of you, cast all your anxiety on the Good Shepherd because he cares for you. All of us, elder shepherds and sheep, can share with the Good Shepherd in confidence and trust every concern, every question, every doubt, every worry. You may also share your sinful self. Even share every desire you have to be king of the sheep, even as you know you can't be the sheep king, nor can you take the place of the Good Shepherd. Still, you can rely on the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd cares for you. The Good Shepherd cares about you. Friends, do you feel loved yet? Can you say of the Good Shepherd that you are one of his beloved flock? Can you claim? Will you claim it? That as the Good Shepherd said, as we saw last week, I know my own and my own know me. John chapter 10. This same letter or sermon of the apostle states about this newfound faith in the first chapter, your faith of greater worth than gold. When I was reading the writings of those who later in their lives denied Jesus, this is a Bible verse I also did not see among the writings of those who denied Jesus. Did they know that their faith was of greater value than gold? Before they left Jesus, did they remember how valuable their faith was? Did they know that the value of their faith was a spiritual truth that could not be grasped by the earthly minded? Because this faith in God, this trust in Jesus as the Son of God, our Savior, the Good Shepherd, because this faith is of more value than gold, not just faith generally speaking, but your faith is valuable. That's what the apostle told these babes in Christ. Your faith is precious. Those are the words of the apostle. Your faith of greater worth than gold. Then the apostle reminded the believers that although they are in the fold of the Good Shepherd, even as the Good Shepherd cares for them and cares about them, the sheep of Jesus' church, like the sheep on the hillsides, you sheep have an enemy. Sheep on the hillsides have natural enemies, and so do we, Jesus' flock. The apostle reminded everyone within the hearing of this address and letter, your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith. Like a lion, like a wolf, like a hyena, like a coyote or a wild dog, enemies of the sheep on the hillsides, you and I have an enemy. Your enemy, like the enemies of the sheep, seeks to devour you. Your enemy wants to destroy you. And therefore, we see the true good sense of following Jesus. Being close to Jesus, the good shepherd carries the rod and staff. They comfort the sheep. States the 23rd Psalm, "Thy rod and thy staff comfort me." Comfort me. Comfort you. With those weapons in the good shepherd's hands, the sheep are safe. When those weapons are in the good shepherd's hands, the sheep are safe. The sheep are not safe if the sheep are wielding the rod and staff. Can you understand Captain Obvious here? While the good shepherd has the rod and staff, you and I are safe and we can be comforted. If we, the sheep, hold the rod and the staff, we are still in danger of being devoured. The apostle tells us, the sheep, what we can do when the enemy is near. The apostle states, resist the enemy. What? The sheep are going to fight the lion or the wolves or the dogs? No. You resist the enemy by standing firm in your faith. Stay close to Jesus. Don't wander off. Don't decide everything is safe for you to pursue some other grassland over there on the hillside. Sheep forget that they might not see the wolves or the dog packs approaching or circling hundreds of yards away. The sheep forget that the dogs and wolves crouch down in the tall grass waiting for some sheep to get too far from the shepherd or too far from the flock. The apostle states, resist the enemy. You're not going to fight the lions or the wolves. You resist your enemy by standing firm in your faith. Stay close to Jesus. Don't wander off. Again, we want to take seriously the apostle's words. Yes, Jesus cares for you, the sheep. Jesus wants you to follow him and follow closely. Yes, if you wander off, Jesus will come get you. But it doesn't take very long for a pack of wolves or wild dogs to get to you, especially if they are nearby. Just because we, the sheep, don't see them, the vicious pack are hiding in the grass, watching for a single sheep to move away from the flock, to put some distance between the one sheep and the shepherd. And as soon as any of us are far away enough from the shepherd, the dogs, the wolves, are up out of the grass and on the run toward you. You see, we should all watch more of the National Geographic Channel. You can learn some Bible truth. You must understand that the dogs and the wolves have been studying that distance between sheep and shepherd all of their lives. They learn when enough distance that the sheep has gone from the shepherd, and only then do they rise up and strike. You may stand your ground in your faith all you want, but you lost the protective weapons of the good shepherd. I read of a mother sheep trying to defend its lamb. Roaming wild dogs caught the pair in the open. The mother sheep stood her ground and fought, but she was outnumbered, and her stomping and charging was no match for the dog's gnashing teeth. She was viciously mauled. The mother sheep was so injured in the attack, covered in bite marks, open wounds, and lacerations, that the farmer and vet considered euthanizing the mother sheep. So yes, you can attempt to wander from Jesus and stand and defend yourself if attacked, but it was almost fatal for that mother sheep in Australia. The mother sheep probably survived because of modern medicine. Survived, but barely survived with professional help. So yes, the sheep can fight their attacker, their enemy, and you might survive, but you don't have to risk it. Stay close to Jesus. Follow the Good Shepherd. Do you know how much the Good Shepherd cares for you, the sheep? The Good Shepherd loves the sheep at least five ways. And this is based on the ways people experience Jesus and the love languages of God, a book entitled that by Gary Chapman. As Savior, the Good Shepherd has rescued you and me. So he's a Savior. As Jesus told the story of the one lost sheep, the Good Shepherd came to our world to find you and me and take us to the Heavenly Father. And so the apostle's letter states in chapter 2, "You and I were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and guardian of our souls." The good shepherd is also a sustainer. The good shepherd knows where water and pasture are season by season. Even as the pasture and still water are essential, they are gifts. They're not things that sheep can find on their own in the Holy Land. The shepherd also has his own tools ready to help the sheep and protect the sheep. They're gifts to the sheep also. Even teacher. It can be said that the good shepherd is a teacher of the sheep. It can be stated this way. The sheep can know the good shepherd's voice, and sheep, real sheep, can tell the difference in our human voices. So you and I and all the sheep can hear Jesus' voice, the voice of the good shepherd. The good shepherd can call to his own sheep. The good shepherd's also a healer, a carrier. Shepherd can help heal. Young or lame sheep can be carried by the shepherd through rough country. They will be even closer to the shepherd, lifted by the shepherd's arms, placed on his shoulders, even around the good shepherd's neck. And the shepherd will be with you always. The shepherd spends time with the sheep. The shepherd will never leave you or forsake you. You might wander off. We might wander from the shepherd. But the good shepherd does not wander away from the sheep. As we learned from Jesus last time, it's the hired hands that run off. Those who might run away from the sheep, the flock. Jesus told the disciples. Jesus told all of us. Jesus told Peter, "I am with you always." The good shepherd never runs away from the sheep, away from the flock. What other job does the good shepherd have but to take care of the sheep? And as we learn, the good shepherd does care for you. Do you feel now that you are more under the care of the good shepherd? Do you feel more as one of the good shepherd's own flock? For were we not all straying like sheep, but have returned to the good shepherd Jesus, the guardian of our souls? Amen.